More public works of art have been erected in the past 15 years than in the whole of the previous century. Well, possibly. No one can be completely sure of the figures, but it seems plausible. But the Victorians put up statues of generals and politicians funded by subscription. Today's public art is funded by public money, and often the public don't seem to much like it. And in such cases, there's often a local politician ready to fan the flames.
I think public art's very interesting in that respect. And I guess all your listeners will have heard of The Angel of the North. And I've got here some of the headlines on The Angels of the North in the early days. Hell's Angel. Lots of negative, anti, people who didn't like it. I guess if you went up to Gateshead now and asked, it's become for them a significant landmark that they're proud of.
You can't really have a conversation about public sculpture in Britain for very long before somebody brings up the Angel of the North. Ever since Anthony Gormley put Gateshead on the map, it seems as if every rundown town in Britain has wanted its own bit of Gormley magic. Michael Pinsky is an artist, about half of whose work consists of public pieces. I spoke to him about the attitude of the people who commission him.
They're starting to see it as social medicine, and as social medicine, it's actually a very blunt tool for creating that supposed magic panacea. I mean, the Angel of the North, for example, has produced this huge icon for the area, and a lot of other councils think, oh, we need that. I do think they have untenable expectations. They think that the piece of work alone will transform an area, and in fact, it can represent that moment of change, but it can't produce that moment of change. It can only signify it.
Councils now spend not just public money on art, they also oblige private developers to spend their money too. Often they grant planning permission only on condition that a percentage of the budget goes into public art. According to Michael Pinsky, this means that more art gets produced than is actually wanted.
The council gets the money off the developer, and then they commission the artist, and then the artist puts their work back into a site where the people paying for it have no interest. And this often happens, for example, I know of several supermarkets where they've had to pay a sum of money, you know, £100,000, let's say, to have a piece of work in their car park, and they have absolutely no interest in the work. And usually the work actually never comes to light, or it comes to light in such a compromised form that you couldn't even call it art anymore.
It never comes to light. Money gets spent, but nothing emerges.
Yeah, I think that happens very, very often.
An art project at a city health park in Bristol, which features a dead tree planted upside down in the ground, has been branded a waste of money by residents and staff. It takes the form of two oak trees, a living tree planted the right way up, and a second, dead tree, planted opposite, but upside down. But retired carpenter Wilson Moore Murray, aged 66, said the artwork was a waste of money. There are people in Knowle West who are fighting for a decent place to live, and this money could have gone to them.
Artist Annie Beardsley coordinated the public art project in Knowle West.
The public art programme, I think, was about creating symbols of aspirations for the neighbourhood in the same way that you get big public art projects in city centres. There was a feeling that outer city neighbourhoods also had a right to these iconic artworks. And most people felt that we were entitled to that in Knowle West.
Michael Pinsky was the lead public artist.
Knowle West is, on the surface of it, it doesn't look too bad. But then when you actually start working with the people there, you realise that there's a lot of malnourished people, people who are on drugs. It's quite incredibly deprived. And you start to get quite despondent about the amount you're inputting into a community like that and how much improvement it's really making. I think it's too much of a gap still to try and change a community like that through one or two pieces of art. It's just not an appropriate scale of response to that size of community and that level of poverty, basically.
Did you get the impression that the people running the project really expected that the public art would have an impact on people's lives?
I think some of them did.
50 years ago, public art just meant art in a public place. You bought a Henry Moore or a Barbara Hepworth and you put it in the municipal park. Now the public has to be engaged with the work, or else you risk becoming the target of a press campaign about wasted money. How to get meaningful public engagement without ending up with a rash of otters and dolphins or mindless blobs is a problem that no one really seems to have solved. For Michael Pinsky, it's about the artist making a comment on the public.
For me personally, I think I often end up with something that reflects my political concerns in reference to the community that exists there. For example, in Bridgewater, I was interested in how the dock had become completely full of shopping trolleys and everyone's waste because it was invisible to them. So I got divers to pull everything out and then I mounted it on the surface of the water. So the community was looking at their own process of how they get rid of their waste. And even though aesthetically it was quite beautiful, it was also quite a strong comment on the way that they deal with their own lives and not something that was particularly comfortable for them.